Acts the fifth chapter. And then we'll probably go back or forward to how about the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I got probably 7 pages wrote already on Ananias and Sapphira. That wasn't what it was really about. It was really about the early church, but it's turned out to be about them. Then I got 4 pages. It's 7. Yeah, it's 4 now. On the love of God. In my Father's house is many mansions, and all about the two creations we can know. So I'm doing 2 letters at a time. Sometimes I'll do 3, plus meditate. If you know how you work, is sometimes you'll get stuck somewhere. You have to totally shift all your thinking for a minute. Clear. You're on the wrong path, clear. And the way you can do that is if you've got an alternative letter going. Of course, I don't know how many letters you write. Anyway, it shocks you, or any kind of teaching, get stuck on something. Anyway, you get onto the other teaching, and sometimes you straighten something up on it, and then it clears you, and you go back to the other one, and it comes online. So used to, if I was stuck on a letter, right after I preached, I'd grab my letter and read it, because a lot of times while I was still under the anointing, I could get past where I got stuck. Do you have writer's block? No. No. I have typing block. So we got on this, and I was asking God, you know, I'd like to go on with this while I had a chance. Well, it seems like Ananias and Sapphira, people get stuck there. You know, if you're a verse-by-verse teacher, it's a nightmare. If you're a subject teacher, it's a subject to be avoided. And if you're a greedy preacher, you know, then usually that verse is only used when you're jumping out thinking that you're some kind of divine appointment on this earth. And you can get by with things. You're special. Now, Ananias and Sapphira wasn't preachers. Good land. When judgment falls on a poor little lamb like that, I mean, what hope do we have? So preachers begin to think they're a divine appointment. God's put them on this earth for you to give to so you can get rich too. A lot of them seem to think that way. So at times they do use this verse since they believe they've got an exemption from it. They'll use it to tell a bunch of little lambs somewhere maybe that the only time God ever killed anybody with a new nature was over an offering. And so, of course, they don't go much deeper than that. And you can't blame them. The problem with this verse is, the circumstances had to be different than most of our church age. Because if God respected no person and went down the line and just judged equally the just due on every person, I mean, they would have to have trucks to haul the Ananias and Sapphira away, not just young men. Mm-hmm. So I knew from praying mysteries and understanding the mystery in this book and the one in this book and this book. And finally, how many knows that the complicated mysteries start coming together to give you complicated answers? See, you're not going to assimilate book after book without them beginning to answer each other, what's in each other's book, and the different things that we don't understand. And we've got to go back and make another pass on meditation, imagery and delivery, and meditation and assimilation. I think we need to take about 3 days just to catch you up with all the new stuff we're employing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, have you ever wondered why you went to bed at night and you went to bed with a problem, and we're not talking about marriage counseling or anything. I mean, you were stuck not understanding something. And the next morning, the moment you woke up, you go, oh, I know what I'll do with that. And why? Because when you sleep, a lot of times your spirit will prioritize. Your spirit will prioritize everything. Okay, where were you when Kennedy was assassinated? I was on the destroyer in Yokosuka, Japan. Where were you? Where were you? Where were you?
Sixth grade.
All right. A more mature group over here. So, we don't have to try to be funny here, you know. Sixth grade. How come you can remember that and can't remember 3 weeks ago what you were doing Thursday at 5, 6, or 7? But you can remember that. Why? Something organized it and prioritized it. See, and this is what happens. This is the kind of rest you run into when he says, this is the rest, this is the refreshing. And of course, that was a prophecy on the day of Pentecost, line upon line, precept upon, this is the rest, this is the refreshing. Herewith he may cause the weary to rest. Really, he's talking about the new nature we'd received and entered into his rest. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people and say, this is the rest, this is the refreshing, wherewith he caused the weary to rest. So in a prophecy, he was talking like on a day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, when he is reaching out there and telling them what had come. See, you can't pray in tongues without him continually doing the same thing. He'll develop you, mature you towards that rest, to where if the same things will begin to happen, there'll be such peace. Anyway, when you go to sleep, during that time of sleep, you prioritize. And the things it'll get rid of, let's just say you've been reading the book of John about 100 times. 1 John. After a while, your heart starts figuring out that this is the best thing for you, or else you wouldn't be giving so much attention to it. So it'll go in and start prioritizing and getting rid of everything in you that's against it. And you know what 1 John's about, the love of God. How'd you like, while you sleep, it worked on your ugly problems? There's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we want to do that. But these mysteries we get into, Every time something else opens up, it agrees with three or four more until finally you start understanding mysteries like Ananias and Sapphira. And as much as possible, what happened there that day. So, why don't we just read that account of their death, shall we? Acts 5th chapter, 1st verse. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price. His wife also, being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled that heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? A good thing you're not under law anymore with the tithing and stuff. Some of you missed two or three pennies. You could have, on your tithe, you rounded it out. You could die over that, you know. When you get. Notice the fourth verse. He said, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but you lied to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. I can't say as I could blame him if he was in church that day. And the young men arose, wound him up, wrapped him up in a sheet of some kind of blanket, and carried him out and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yeah. That's where we get that, I think. Yeah, the Lord would say. She said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which has buried thy husband are at the door, and they'll carry you out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her with her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they're all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. So this core group that they had, that the people that were kind of walking on the outside, they got into fear and they didn't want to join themselves to that group. Obviously the ones that were selling off their possessions, that were spending day and night in the temple as much as possible, sitting at the feet of the 12 apostles, ministering, breaking bread from door to door. It was being added to the church. Multitudes of people. Yet there was a group then that wouldn't add themselves to them, but they magnified them. They knew what was happening was of God. And then they get to a place in the early church here where the power, I don't know if it's ever been paralleled again. If it has, I haven't really heard. But our intention is here. Our intention is to see these things. Whew. believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch, unprecedented. They brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. Now, if you're wondering who these were, they were laying along the road where Peter came in. Now, I made a comment before that I think I understand this, that he wouldn't have wanted to stop and lay hands on some of them, being probably as they were Gentiles. Some. Probably not too many, some. And even on the day of Pentecost, the 3,000 that was filled with the Holy Spirit were devout Jews that came in from every nation under heaven. So even these, I mean, this was pretty much a Jewish population that he was ministering to here. I mean, thoroughly. So if the revival did reach that far, and they did put people on the street, then at least Peter wouldn't have to touch them. Just his shadow could overshadow them. And of course, you know what God would have done if he got the chance. But see, it didn't stop there. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, all the possessed people, sick people. Now notice this, and they were healed. How many? Now, come on, you know. Come on. Oh, Oklahoma City comes in. All the sick from Oklahoma City and Houston and Dallas. And now we're including all the demon-possessed and all the sick. Can you imagine what was in the sick out there? People with missing parts and arms and legs and blind. And the possessed, I bet they had to have people chained while they were waiting. Gadarian, I bet they had to have them chained. Chained here. Here, you're walking down the street, and he clears the street. And then they start bringing the multitudes in. It says they were healed every single one. Now, if you want to play no respecter of persons, why don't we believe that he didn't respect what was hell hotter than? What is he favoring those people? Was hell hotter then? So he decided to get in and salvage them because it was hotter. But with our generation, hell's not hotter. So he'll just let us go to hell with no signs and wonders to look at. Why did he do that? Don't you know when you find out these keys, it's their first big fat steps. Are you doing them? So you'll have to admit there was unusual circumstances going on that day. And they had already been in two separate great big outpourings, one on the day of Pentecost, when the devout men from the cities round about was there for the day of Pentecost. And Peter preaches that noble message right in their midst. Incredible message. 3,000 Jews were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. But it was in that revival, it's when nobody told them to do anything. But it was such an outpouring, it was such a time that they took it on themselves to go. And they just gave themselves totally to God, like Gary's etching away at those messages. You've heard the ones he's done on provision, and this is provision, and this is his. And it isn't taught like it's a tithe, because in a tithe, if you're going to give God $1 million in tithe, look how much you have to make just to give him that. You get this much, poor God gets this much. Let me calculate. I better get a calculator, I guess. Well, the way that Gary broke it down for us is that you figure out on how much you need to live on. That's your provision. And then everything else that comes in, you give to God. And I heard him in action. He didn't know. I knew exactly what was being talked about probably. But Tim asked me if I would go over to Gary's house so he could de-illiterize me on computers. At least give me an idea of what they're capable of. I didn't want to tell him, but I watched him turn it on, so I knew I could do that. So he showed me basically an overview of what these things was capable of. And I asked him about that. He talked about the vision of a stick of gum, and he was mailing it to people. And this is years ago. And on that stick of gum, they can hold the memory of an entire computer. Well, what he didn't know, that it looked like a stick of gum, but he was mailing those out and sending the word all over the nation. He saw that before they ever came out. So, you know, if you're living on 100,000 a year, and you get that 100,000, and then 3 million came in over that, guess who gets the 3 million? And we're talking profit, what your business makes and all that. Who gets the 3 million? I said, well, what do you do about things outside of that? You know, what if you need a new car or something and your budget doesn't cover it? Gary says, you go to the Father and ask him and he gives it to you. Then if you do need an increase, you bring that before God and pray. And then you see, and then you increase whatever amount you think you need to live on the next year. So that's how he lives. And I was there and they got a phone call because somebody wanted to buy something real bad. They wasn't, they're on that line of being able to understand everything. And he said, sorry, you know, you call yourself Papa or something like that. So Gary said, No, you know, we can't get that right now, because he explained to him, that is not our money. He said, we can't spend basically somebody else's money. And so he explained it to him, and I heard him. See, well, I can remember when God gave him his car. It probably wasn't in your budget, was it? Sue, I've heard that laugh before. It was not in your budget at the time, and you got a big long car with a big engine, didn't you? I thought so. I rode in it. Hallelujah. But see, nobody told these people. God had poured out, and the 12 apostles. In fact, we can go back and read about that, and we will as soon as we get to a certain point. It was incredible what happened. They sold all their possessions, and they had everything in common, and they was using the overall bankroll to feed the people and to do the things that they could stay at the feet of the apostles. And the first thing they did, even before the outpouring, because Judas was gone, they cast lots for Matthias, and they had the 12 who slept and ate with Jesus, heard every parable. It was critical. So now we got this 3,000 people, and not long after that, 5,000 more added after the lame man that was healed from birth, 40 years of age. And he confirmed the same thing again, everything in common. It wasn't until Ananias and Sapphira died that a fear gripped a certain group, and they thought, oh boy. But then they did magnify and glorify what they was doing. So here these people, I mean, they sold out. They were the ones that when Paul breathed in his great threats and slaughters and was going into their houses and hailing them to prisons, they were the ones that dispersed to every city and only the 12 saved. But don't tell me they hadn't heard every parable, saw every miracle, and been in every move. They had already sold out. Nothing belonged to them. And they was released on the nations round about just like that. But why'd they do that to Ananias and Sapphira? Well, you have to admit with these miracles he's talking about here. How long has it been since you've seen anything even remotely? I mean, you've seen enough miracles to know they exist. And some people in the land have really strong miracle ministries. But the hosts of the sick are not generally touched too much. If you're going to take percentages, it's almost no percentage of the amount of sick that turns out that ends up getting healed. And we thank God for what we get, because it's not staying the same. It is not staying the same. This city is ours, and we're going to take possession. We've got to find this stuff out. Gary got a piece. I get a piece. Tim gets a piece of it. We keep bringing it together. We're walking down this path. And we won't walk down another one. So you have to admit things was being done by those men that Jesus trained, that got born again and sold their lives out. Everyone they was teaching was selling their lives out, except for, as always, the exceptions. But all of the sick, we've not seen that. So the early church established under the 12 in particular that were established under Jesus came to a fullness that was incredible. But the only reason they'd come to a fullness like that, they were taught how to, and they did. Well, the reason they did, as the men that established the church, it set a precedence. That isn't the only generation he wants to do that. It's not the only time he wanted to use a tool to save cities and nations. What most people will do is attribute it to the special favor that the Jews have. So if you're hearing anything on radio, that most of your preachers are going to the scriptures now to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and you'll prosper, and to be on Israel's side. Well, Israel's like a big clock, because in prophecy she's been followed to the end of time. So you can watch her and find out about where we're at. But if you think for 1 minute that he loves a Jew more than he loves you, you've made a mistake. Yeah. He loves people. So you would have to admit that unprecedented ministry was going on here that we haven't seen since. But that's okay. I guess we're going to go back. I mean, the church so lost everything, even to the dark ages, that the emergence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit just at Azusa Street was an incredible time for the church, a landmark that he was once again able to begin to restore. So the church basically had not done too well. I mean, but it isn't that we did not have the fullness of everything Jesus said we could have, and these men stood in it and ministered. And these people that went out, that sat under them for several years, like Philip, boy, he just tore Samaria up. Incredible. Well, we're going to see all that again. You can join in or fight or go somewhere and watch us. You can dare not add yourself to our group if you don't want to. Hallelujah. I hate to keep asking, is anybody having as good a time as I am? Because did you know that as amazing as it may seem, some of you don't look like you are?
You don't know my problems.
You don't know how big he is. The only mistake I made this morning is wearing a black shirt in a hot building. Hallelujah.
Well, the end's coming.
Oh, hallelujah. My life's not full. What you been looking for in it? Hallelujah. Glory. Found out recently God didn't like the way I thought. I thought in millions. I don't think that way now. I mean, why would I think millions when the earth has got more on that? You know, billion. Why think million? If it only took a dollar to get everybody saved, I'd still need billions. Come on, millions. I don't even want that. That won't even work for breakfast. So the point I've been working on here, we haven't really seen a time after this like this one. But I can tell you, when it is restored, two things will come back that was here. One is judgments that take place presently. Two, miracles that take place presently. How's your confession been in that area? Everyone, all the time, every time. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. So these two things are coming back. Is that judgment that'll take place instantly?
Well, who will he use like that?
How about apostles that are not after your money? The primary call of the apostle, primary, is doctrine. It is truth. And when the church goes astray, this is why they get beat up so regularly. The whole church is going down a highway of false teaching, and one apostle jumps out in the road. No, you don't. They just trample him. The primary call, but unfortunately to the full mantle of that anointing, basically, is where the instantaneous judgment takes place. And if they would have been a one in town, that doctrine that went from Tulsa that's beginning to spread now wouldn't have made it that far. But because there is no mantles in town that he can use like that. In fact, he can't hardly use any anywhere I know of at this point. The one time he tried to teach me a little bit on it, it scared me. And I learned some of the qualifications that goes with judgment. And one is that it rejoices. Mercy rejoices against judgment. And any mighty apostles I've seen trying to judge people, it was more personal. I'll teach you. I've seen deacon wars where they cursed each other. So finally they'd add more to the end. I curse you in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Well, I curse you in the name of Jesus, Lord Christ. Oh, yeah. I curse you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I called them the deacon wars. But the one time that I knew that he didn't, I didn't really wasn't operating under it, he just came and got me and took me for a little ride, and I was with him when he done it. And I could tell that he wanted something from me, and all he wanted from me was to tell them the truth. And when I told them the truth, then they acted directly against God and the truth that I told them. And the judgment took place after that. It isn't that I didn't know it was going to. I did to a certain degree. But I also knew I was only along for the ride as a mouthpiece for truth, not to speak words basically of judgment per se. So in the one, well, both the people that he had me bring a message to are, they're with him now. They're with him. And I can't tell you one of them because it's too close to home. But I can tell you about the other one. He's pretty well known. And a long time ago, after a meeting, I went to the somewhat to-do house among them for a fellowship. And I went on a long fast, and I got off of it. I found out how to overcome the flesh a little and the role the flesh play. So he only spoke to me one thing. He was trying to salvage this guy, so he says, go tell him how to overcome the flesh now through fasting. I didn't know that he was having a with the associate's wife. I didn't know that. So I'm over to the somewhat, and I said, God, you make a way, because right now there's just nowhere. They're all waiting for their turn to make a speech. So I went in to get my coat. Of course, the guy had a coat room. He was in there. Ah, my chance. So I went and says, hey, you know, I just got off of a longer fast, and he taught me some things about the flesh. And did you know you come up in it? And he wanted me to tell you what he taught me. And he jumped back like I branded him with a Montana branding iron. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Boy, I didn't know he was flying out every weekend almost to rendezvous. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. You want to help me? I owe $80,000 by Monday. It always comes around. I just shut up and stepped out backwards, you know. When I left, he told everybody in there is operating in witchcraft. Well, he had to cover himself. 4 or 5 years later, somebody asked me if I would do a meeting that was under his flag. And they were high up in the organization. I said, you better clear it. So she tried and says, he won't let you. And I said, I told you that. I said, but I'll take it a step further. How do I know what's happened? I'll go see what I can do. And I went. I had a witness with me. And I was thinking about joining his organization. I was standing there, and the Lord said, there's nothing has changed. And I said, I can't join it. Then he said to me, and besides that, there's death working in his body. I witnessed it with the person with me. I said, there's death in his body. And I said, God, you want me to tell him? He said, he won't listen to you anymore than he did years ago. I said, okay. A couple of years later, the cancer showed up. He died not long after that. But it wasn't because he said I was in witchcraft. I wasn't the only highway he was leaving behind that was destroying people. Amen. So it wasn't me. I don't think I'd care for that mantle too much. That doesn't mean I can't understand it. Should we continue this? So how many know those two things got to come back? One, it's when the church is to the fullness of signs and wonders. Two, you can know that the power will also be here to protect established truth again, doctrine. And the highway will be open again for instantaneous judgments to take place. How many would rather that the people didn't go to hell, that are liable to go to hell now because they've been captured by certain teachings of people in this town that we know. Wouldn't you rather God took care of that right in the beginning, possibly with a repentance time for the person who is instigating? Wouldn't you rather saw that happen for the sake of him and them? Well, all we have to do is not stop what God is establishing here in these last days. Hallelujah. Woo.